Hello, you're watching Outsiders with Rita Panahi, James Morrow and Rowan Dean. Shortly, we'll be chatting to Megyn Kelly, the famous American TV broadcaster and journalist. But first of all, whenever I need a cheering up, I know I can rely on Paul Barry over at Media Watch to give me a good chuckle. Here he is after the US election attacking me and this station's Alan Jones for raising doubts about the integrity of the US election.
Then last week, another Trump loyalist, Attorney General William Barr, declared there was no evidence of widespread election fraud. And last month, election officials across the USA swore there was no evidence of voter fraud to the New York Times. So, what fantasy land do Alan Jones and Rowan Dean live in that they can just ignore all that? And why does Sky News allow them to keep spouting their nonsense?
Mr. Barry was incensed that I had been allowed to broadcast a conspiracy theory, as he called it, based on my concerns about numerous aspects of the election. I and others asked questions around what appeared to be a coordinated campaign that had run for several months by diverse and disparate groups within the US, including big tech, social media platforms, the mainstream media, big businesses in cohorts with extreme far-left groups, such as Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and others. It seemed that the summer's riots in the US had morphed from genuine concerns about the death of George Floyd to a deliberate political campaign to unseat Donald Trump. And much the same appeared to be true of some aspects of the pandemic. It also seemed that social media giants were perverting the course of the election campaign by deliberately censoring anything remotely pro-Trump or anti-Biden, such as the New York Post's Hunter Biden laptop revelations, which simply vanished into thin air. And then, in the immediate aftermath of the election, there was a desperate and coordinated campaign to reassure everybody that the vote was totally legitimate, despite the many glaring anomalies, such as the unprecedented number of mail-in ballots, boxloads of which mysteriously and conveniently popped up in the right places at the right time. Then there was the unconventional behaviour of Democrat poll watchers, and much more. The way the coronavirus was used to change long-established voting laws months before. And the insistence by the Democrats that every vote count, rather than, of course, every legal vote. There is a difference. There was too much that simply did not add up. Or if it did add up, it added up to what Joe Biden himself had boasted was the biggest voter fraud in US history.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history.
Maybe a slip of the tongue, but to give the voter fraud skeptics, or voter fraud deniers, as I like to call them, their dues, in the cold light of day, it did seem a little implausible that such widespread fraud could have occurred. After all, you could only pull that off if there was some vast, shadowy group conspiring together and coordinating it all. Well, now it turns out that there was. In a lengthy and riveting article published in the left-leaning Time magazine this week, the truth has astonishingly been revealed in all its sordid detail. Yes, there was a vast network. Yes, there was a secret cabal, boasts Time magazine in The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. Perhaps unable to contain their glee at what they achieved, or simply drunk on the knowledge of their extraordinary power, this massive in-depth expose manages to support pretty much everything and I and others called a conspiracy. Now, to be fair to Time and the authors, they are boasting about this shadowy group as a good thing. And to their way of thinking, by getting rid of Donald Trump, they saved democracy. I'm not sure I'd agree with that, but allow me to read you the detail of what they are now boasting about. And yes, I have obviously cherry-picked my quotes, but you can decide if I'm being unfair or not. Right up front, the authors admit, in a way, Trump was right. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. They go on. The handshake between business and labour was just one component of a vast, cross-partisan campaign, an extraordinary shadow effort. Their work touched every aspect of the election. They go on. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions of dollars in public and private funding. They recruited armies of poll workers and got millions of people to vote by mail. They successfully pressured social media companies to take a harder line. After Election Day, they monitored every pressure point to ensure that Trump could not overturn the result. They admit in the article, and I quote, "This is the inside story of the conspiracy. Their words, not mine, to save the 2020 election. Save is one word. Steal might be another." They go on. "The participants want the secret history of the 2020 election campaign told, even though," their words, "it sounds like a paranoid fever dream, a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies working together behind the scenes to influence perception, change rules and laws, steer media coverage and control the flow of information." I couldn't have put it better myself. And then here comes the neat little sleight of hand. See if you can spot it. This is the key sentence from the article, and I quote, "They were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it." Let me repeat that. They were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it. Ah, yes, like Bernie Madoff didn't steal from his investors, he simply fortified his investment portfolios. The great train robbers didn't rip off the mail train, they simply fortified their bank accounts. Then, having established this secret cabal were simply fortifying the vote, we get all the grubby details. One of the masterminds was a senior advisor, they admit, to the nation's largest union federation, and they actually boast this. It was his job to marshal the latest tactics and data to help its favoured candidates win elections. That's right. They as good as admit this secret conspirator was a union vote rigger. He's quoted as saying, "An alliance was formed within the progressive universe, the labour movement, the institutional left, like Planned Parenthood and Greenpeace, resistance groups like Indivisible and Move On, progressive data geeks and strategists, representatives of donors and foundations, state-level grassroots organisations, racial justice activists and others." The article goes on. "Protecting the election would require an effort of unprecedented scale. As 2020 progressed, it stretched to Congress, Silicon Valley, and the nation's state houses. It drew energy from the summer's racial justice protests and even Trump-skeptical Republicans." Remember, this is them saying this, not me. They go on, to secure the vote, they needed to, quote, "mail ballots to every voter. They needed staff and scanners to process ballots. An assortment of foundations contributed tens of millions of dollars. Zuckerberg chipped in $300 million, they boast. Then, this is great, they went to great lengths to push social media platforms to take a harder line. I think that means social media censorship. And it gets worse. The Voting Rights Lab and Into Action created state-specific memes and graphics spread by email, text, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and TikTok, urging that every vote be counted. They were seen by over a million views. At the same time, they admit polls were underestimating Trump's support. So next came people power. The racial justice uprising sparked by George Floyd's killing in May was not primarily a political movement, boasts Time magazine, but The organisers who helped lead it wanted to harness its momentum for the election. So they created, wait for it, a force of election defenders, quote, who, unlike traditional poll watchers, were specially trained. During early voting and on election day, they surrounded lines of voters and turned the act of casting a ballot into a street party. Really? Okay. Now comes another little nifty sleight of hand. Activists say the authors of the article began preparing for demonstrations if Trump tried to steal the election. Oh, I see. All this vast conspiracy was justified because it was Trump who was trying to steal the election. Right, okay. They go on. The group's website had a map listing 400 planned post-election demonstrations to be activated via text on November the 4th. We wanted to be mindful of when was the right time to move masses of people into the streets. The authors admit that the architect of all this had been warning for weeks that Trump voters' turnout was surging, but that as long as all the votes were counted, Trump would lose. How did he know that, I wonder? Then, after the election, you'll remember I queried the massive campaign designed to convince the public all was above board. Here's Time's explanation. Behind the scenes, the business community began to discuss a joint statement. They chose their words carefully and scheduled the statement's release for maximum impact. And with a final nifty sleight of hand, the article concludes, democracy won in the end. The will of the people prevailed. But it's crazy, they say, that this is what it took to put on an election in the USA. Put on an election, fortify Biden's vote, save democracy. So many verbal sleights of hand.
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
And finally, even the left-wing Washington Post is now admitting what I and other conspiracy theorists were saying about the Capitol Hill riot on January 6th, that rather than being incited by Donald Trump's speech that morning, as the Democrats and the left and the ABC and the rest claim, it was in fact planned and infiltrated. In an article titled "Self-Styled Militia Members Planned on Storming the US Capitol," the Washington Post the other day quoted the court documents which say, and I'm quoting, "Keep eyes on people with red MAGA hats worn backward. Saw a report that they were going to infiltrate crowd tomorrow." "Thanks, brother," replies the other person, "but we are way ahead of you on that. We have infiltrators in their ranks." And finally, I wonder if Paul Barry will report this story. On Friday, a judge ruled on the final Republican candidate, Claudia Tenney, on the final part of the election, won her seat by 109 votes. The judge has spent the last 3 months since the election reviewing endless ballot challenges and trying to fix a myriad of problems with ballots that weren't counted properly or were improperly rejected. So forgive me when I said last year that the election was rigged by the Democrats. I obviously misspoke. Clearly, I meant to say it was fortified.